Welcome to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios. Tune in as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing television. Join the conversation at 657-383-1974. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO, Joseph Collins.
And now your host, CEO Joseph Collins. Okay, well, I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy. We are in the Punch Bowl tonight. Our CEO, Joseph Collins, is on the road traveling in Florida. So we might have a little problem with the connection tonight. But since it's Friday, and Friday we always have the most amazing show, I know our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, is going to jump right in there any moment and make it happen. Okay, so we're still waiting for our fearless leader. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we have going on at Punch TV, at Punch TV Studios. We are in the IPO phase. We are in the money-raising phase. We are selling 50 million shares of stock at $1 per share. So what are other things that we're doing? I think we are waiting for our CEO. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for Joseph Collins in Jacksonville, Florida, to join us on the line and wow us with all this wonderful story on what it's like to be a CEO on the road. We definitely want to know.
I think somebody can hear me now, hopefully. I think you had me muted.
I did not have you muted.
I was muted on a Friday night. I got the Friday night muted on there. And so, it's okay, I had heard nothing you say because I don't know, for whatever reason, I could not chime in. But I did hear you say that I was on the road, and if you can repeat the last part, I'll be more than happy to re-answer that question.
We just want to know what you got going on. It's Friday night before a holiday weekend. We're all tuning in to the Punch Bowl just to hear what CEO Joseph Collins of Punch TV Studios has to say.
Well, you know, actually, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I've been working at the I've been working on our television station here, and I want to tell you, today has been one of those days. I've been up since 6 a.m. I've been at the station, which is the tower site, is what they're called, but I've been at the tower site since 7 this morning, barely just left the tower site, and it's 9 o'clock tonight, and it has been a full day of, I don't know what's going on with our station here, and every time we would get one thing working, something else would fall apart, so I don't know quite what's happening right now, but hopefully in the morning we will have it here, and we'll hopefully be back on the air in the morning here in Jacksonville, Florida, and it's just been a bit of a frustrating day for me because I just love to see our things run so smoothly and everything like that. I just love to see that, and but for some reason today has been one heck of a day. Today has been one heck of a day, just a heck of a day. Otherwise than that, it's been completely awesome. I've been working like Michael Jackson day and night. Got me working day and night. And other than that, it's been completely awesome. And man, I've been on the road right now almost a month. Can you believe it? When I left Los Angeles, I had no idea that I would be out here almost a month, literally, not figuratively, but literally almost a month. And let me tell you, it's kind of difficult to be on the road. It is not glamorous. I'm telling you that right now. To me, it's not really glamorous. It's just a bit difficult to be on the road and to be away from the people that you like and to be away from, you know, your friends and to be away from your family and to be away from loved ones. It's just a bit, it's a bit difficult. And then it, being that it is a holiday, that kind of compounds the difficultness of it. And so that's kind of how my day is going right now. It's just one of those days. What about you? What's been going on in your day? You've been shopping, you've been kickback, you've been, what have you been doing, Shirley?
No shopping, no kicking back. I've been working for the man. That's what I tend to do. You know, you got me working 9 to 5, actually night and day. I wish I can get off at 5 o'clock.
You got me.
Exactly.
I could be the one to replace Michael Jackson. You know, I think I can endow his voice, but it's the whole dancing and singing and the. And the Jerry Curl thing that might not work out too well for me. But, you know, in another life, I might have been Michael Jackson in another life, you know, Mark Jackson in another life. So you've been
Maybe.
Busy today. What have you been working on today?
Nabuki. I had to go check out Nabuki because, we launched Nabuki a little while ago, but just to be able to see some of the videos, you know, just to see some of the videos that people are uploading. And I think that's really amazing. So I worked on Nabuki. I spent some time with the social media, checking out what the people are saying. It's really interesting, the different views that we receive on social media in regards to Punch TV Studios and the IPO.
Well, what are some of the views that you come across? What are some of the views that you come across?
Well, I mean, it's just amazing that so many people see that the Punch TV Studios IPO is a life-changing opportunity. I mean, people have even compared you to the Martin Luther King Jr. of Wall Street. You know, so people are really seeing the effect of becoming a stockholder. That's not just, oh, I'm buying a couple of shares here and there. It's about a movement. It's about a company that is literally changing television and changing media.
Well, I agree with you 100% when it comes to that. I totally agree with you. And if they knew how hard we work, they would totally be like, I've got to be a part of that company. We like Bebe's kids over here. You know, we don't die, we multiply, you know. And so, but we are really working hard to bring about a revolution and to bring this to life in such a wonderful and great way. And I want to say tonight that I'm really thankful to the Punch TV team. I'm really thankful to the Punch TV team, everybody that assists us and everybody that works with us and everyone who's a part of Punch. I really am thankful to have all you guys, to have so many people. And so I'm really thankful to have so many people help and so many people be a part of it. And I'm thankful to have so many shareholders who are like, you know what, I want to be a part of Punch TV Studios. I want to be a part of that movement. I want to be a part of what the company is doing and how they're doing it. And it's just so exciting just to watch and see the, I don't know what it is, to watch and see all of this come together, to watch and see all of this come together. It's so exciting. And then all of the comments from so many people. I mean, we've gotten so many comments, some of them good, some of them bad. But, you know, just what people say or people think or people know or think they know, and it's just one of those things. And but we've had incredible shows in the Punch Bowl, and I think tonight is going to be just as incredible as all of our other shows have been. And even though it is the eve before Christmas Eve, so technically this is our Christmas Eve, So what do you want Santa to bring you for Christmas?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't really do this whole Santa thing, so I don't ask Santa for anything. What are you hoping Santa will bring the Punch TV Studios family?
Wealth. I'm hoping that Santa brings wealth to the... I'm hoping that he brings a stock price that's, you know, exceptional. I hope he brings an exceptional stock price. You know, I want to have a stock price wrapped with a ribbon on it. You know, that's what I'm hoping that that Santa brings to us. Now, I was looking at one of the videos that's kind of trending for us in social media. This guy's on there talking about how he feels about Punch TV Studios. And that video's gotten over 22,000 views. I think that's amazing. Can you believe
wow.
that? A video over 22,000 views. It's a video.
We have some videos.
And if you looked at this guy, you might have thought he was me, but I'm a lot more handsomer than he is. This video's gotten 22,000 plays, and that's amazing. Guy in a plaid shirt, and he's talking about why he likes Punch TV and all that, and get over 22,000 views. That's like really, really amazing. Amazing. Then I have another video up, and this video that I'm in, which we put up maybe 3 weeks ago, has already gotten over 3,000 views. I might have put up a week and a half ago. It's gotten 3,000 views, and I thought that was pretty good. And then we had this other guy's got a video. I think he's almost 70,000 views, where he's just sitting there talking about Punch, this entrepreneur. And he's about 70,000 views, and I think that's really awesome for really chiming in and hearing the Punch TV message and really embracing and being a part of what we're doing. So let's quickly take a quick break, and after the break, we're going to be back with our first guest tonight.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Do you, Nabuki? So I'm just really happy tonight, in every sense of the word. I'm really, really happy. And I'm really happy because Punch TV Studios is ending the year very strong. And I'm really thankful, and I'm so happy about that. We're ending the year very, very strong as a company going into the fourth quarter, into the first quarter. And I'm just thankful tonight, of all things, I'm just more thankful tonight for everybody than I am on anything else. So who do we have in the Punch Bowl tonight? Tonight, this show is going to be about being thankful. This is going to be the thankful show. How about that?
Yes, we are. Speaking of being thankful, we have Mr. Terry Boykins in the Punch Bowl tonight. Are you with us, Mr. Boykins?
I'm here. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
So what
you
brings
are
you
welcome.
To the Punch?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. We got to see, Ms. Sharif and I, we got ESP going on, so she already knows what I'm thinking, so we're like talking at the same time. But, no, we are here, and... as great. What brings you to the Punch Bowl tonight, Sheldon?
Well, I tell you, I got an invitation to join you all on this particular episode, and so I've had some opportunity after a busy, busy year at Street Positive to chime in and talk a little bit about some business, and I'm here to look at what's happening, particularly with our young black males that I have a chance to work with, and my whole focus right now is making sure that young black males 12 to 18 have their retirement secured by age 35.
Okay, that's pretty good. How would you do that other than investing in Punch TV Studios for only a dollar a share? You can get your stock right now. Visit our website at PunchTVStudios.com. Other than that, how can they do that?
I'm there with you, Joseph. I'm there with you, Joseph. Well, I tell you, as you know, one of the biggest key is financial literacy and financial strategy, and making sure that these young people understand entrepreneurship at a very young age, that they are competitive with their white counterparts, and understanding what the investment game is about, what the wealth building game is about, and also their value to the marketplace by being able to increase their own net wealth before they go into their late 20s.
Wow, but how would they do that? I think it's very important, but how specifically would they do that?
Well, I think there's a number of ways that we've talked about. Number one is if they're going to become an employer, that's an employee that has an entrepreneur mindset. That's one of the issues we talk about in terms of how to get your grind on with someone else, but being able to effectively use that revenue, use that paycheck to invest in areas that is going to increase your wealth as an employer. The other part is an entrepreneur, is teaching them how to access capital, how to move products and services that have demand into the marketplace, how to build an effective brand, how to create an effective following and a consumer base, how to work with major accounts, how to go after major contracts, and how to effectively diversify those earnings into very high return asset building equities that will allow them to basically secure their retirement.
That's very important. But, you know, when you're young, you're not really thinking a lot about retirement. How do you get over that mindset? You know, when I was 18, 20, something, I wasn't thinking about, okay, I'm going to retire someday. I mean, that was not in my mind. So how would you bring that to fruition so that they're thinking, like, how would you cross over with that?
Well, I think it comes down to where you want the game to be. And, of course, these times are shifting depending on what age group you're in.
Are we losing?
No, I'm here. Are you there? Can you hear me okay?
Did we lose him?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah, I can hear. And so, can you hear me okay, host?
I think we might have lost Mr. Collins. Yes, we have. We've been having phone issues with Mr. Collins all evening, but he'll chime back in.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I'll go ahead and
I can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Well, I'll proceed in this holiday season. You know, at 18, you know, that's true. I mean, there may have been a point in time where you weren't thinking about those types of future benefits. But I think now when you talk about the awareness of what athletes are making, what entertainers are making, what individuals that are dealing in the stock market, you know, whether it be the Silicon Valley and the tech industry, they are thinking about that now. And these young African-American males, Hispanic males, have no choice but to think about that, because if they don't think about it, they're not going to be in the game. Very simple. And in order to be competitive and be relevant, they have to be thinking about what's going to happen 20 years down the road. Because if not, they're going to be working, they're going to be slaving and they're going to be wishing they would have had somebody educate them on the game about how to manage their money and how to effectively put it away so that they would have something down the road.
Right.
And that's what's happening with the young men I'm talking to. I'm dealing with a bunch of gangsters right now, some young boys in the game that we call in off the street from gang banging to economic security.
Right. So what do you teach them? Like, you know, where do you start with something like that?
Number one, this is all curriculum-based. It's all measurable. Number one is making sure my team understands what they understand about money, what it is, what it does, how it's created, what to do with it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's number one, is getting their perspective as to what exactly do you think money is, because what you think it is may not be the way it works in this capitalized society called America.
No, it doesn't.
And so once we get a chance to understand their perspectives, you know, you start realizing that what they've been educated on the street, they make a few dollars, they can get this, they can get that, they got enough money to buy their shoes, but they don't have enough money to buy their dream. And so then we begin to deal with the language. What is the language? Are you even talking the language of money? Do you know the terms? Do you know the definitions? Can you engage in a conversation that somebody stepped to you about puts and calls, about hedges, about being able to deal with the different components of the market, the different exchanges? Do you even have the capacity to have a relevant conversation with somebody who's in the money game? Not the street game, the money game. And then we basically put them through a matrix. Do you understand the legal capacity when you hand your money over to a trader, to a banker? Do you understand the legal activity that's taking place in that transaction as it relates to your money? And one of the slogans that we have that we basically carry through this 12-week session is this. You need to know where your money is at all times. And I will ask them, you need to know where your money is when, and they will basically echo at all times. And so this is one of the things that we actually have a chance to basically make sure that they understand that when it comes to the money game, you better know how to play it, you better know how to play it straight up, you better know how to play it real, and you better know who you're turning your money over to, the legal ramifications are, how much is protected, how much is at risk, what's your return going to be, and are you going to have it? Because it ain't what you make, it's what you keep.
That's correct. That is so correct. That is so correct. But how do you avoid them from making the pitfalls that so many people make? Because one of the biggest things that I find is that a lot of people have a fear of money. There's a phobia as it relates to money. So how do you bring them against that phobia? And bring your people into another mindset.
You bring people and put them in front of a Joseph Collins. You bring people in front of who knows what the game is. You get people who understand what an IPO. You know, I mean, you bring them into people who've had mistakes. Only way you can navigate the game is if somebody you know understands what the game is being played about.
That's true.
And so we put these individuals, for example, we had these young men that basically got put out of every school in San Bernardino County. And they asked if I would be willing to take some time to engage with them. I told them that I would, being that I a great deal with, you know, urban city young males that have been in trouble. And so we brought bankers in. We got them ready first because we didn't want to embarrass them, and we didn't want them to have their self-esteem compromised because we had to teach them the language. Like, you know, we had to put, some language in front of them and some mindset that they had to create before they can actually have the confidence to deal with these individuals.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so we brought industry people in. We brought people in that basically were in the insurance business, in the banking business, in the investment business. And we let them, you know, do a stress test. We did a Shark Tank. And, you know, we let them use their language. So we let some of these young men basically express the best way they could express themselves. even using slang, even using maybe what would be considered inappropriate language, but the message is what we were really focusing on. It wasn't the language that we were focused on. It was the fact that you understand when it comes to my money, don't mess with my money. And those people that were basically the industry professionals, if they didn't understand anything from these young men, they understood that. And so having them now, how would I say, drumline this, that now, you know, you know how to make money because you know how to make money. The question is, can you grow your money?
Right.
And that's what we brought these young people in, and they got it. They had a chance to get it. I'm here. I can bring this from the street. I can bring this from my hustle. I can bring this from my part-time job. I can bring this from dealing. But that's all I can bring in, because if I'm going to keep bringing it in, I got to keep hustling. And I'm saying to them, there's a way to basically grow your money without you having to even get out of the bed in the morning.
That's true.
So we bring in people that know what they're doing.
That's absolutely amazing. So many young men, so many people, period, need that type of financial education and that type of financial literacy to help them navigate their lives, because it's just so great. Like for me, for instance, that I've wanted to be rich since I was little. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. But I had no one. There was no one in my circle that could teach me techniques of the wealthy.
Yeah.
And that's a different technique, because it's a different mindset. It's a different kind of thing. And there was no one in my circle, I could say, that could actually teach me that. And there was no one I could really emulate and say, this is how you make $1 million. This is how you do it. This is how you can turn your situation or turn your life around or turn whatever around. This is how you do it from a financial point of view. Because most of us struggle in the area of finance. And we even find that so much, even adults, we really struggle in the area of understanding finance and understanding quote unquote capital markets, and understanding the nature of how capital markets work. And I think if more people in the urban space understood capital markets, they would jump right in full force. You know,
correct.
They would just jump right in full force because of the power that capital markets have. And it's just so amazing to me when you start learning, okay, you know what, we can build our own Wall Street. We don't necessarily have to go to Wall Street. You can actually build our own Wall Street in our own communities if we needed you. And we do need you, because we need to employ our people and keep the dollar circulating in the community at least 5, 6, 7, 8 times before it leaves the community. And by the time it leaves the community, you already have these new dollars coming back to the community. But because we are so, I don't know what the word is, we are so anxious to get away from the community until we don't want to put those dollars back in the community. And I'll tell you, this has been the mindset of us. And just because something is white don't mean it's right. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so we look to other things for our inspiration or for other people for our guidance. And sometimes you can find that guidance and heroes in our own community. And I think that what you're saying is so valuable. It's such a valuable thing. And I would like to applaud you for working with young people to help them begin to understand. Another thing is that sometimes sometimes we're just afraid to lose. Thing is, you don't want to look at it as losing. You want to look at it as gaining. What can I gain? And I say that because I often talk about the ticket that I spent $5,000 on. I always talk about the $5,000 ticket. It wasn't a lottery ticket. I didn't go buy 5,000 lottery tickets either. You know, I bought a ticket that costs $3,000 to get into this event, this cable event. It costs $3,000 to get in. That was just to get in. That wasn't lunch. That wasn't anything. That was just to get in. Then it was another $2,000 to set up your booth and do the whole thing like that. And to have your booth and stuff set up in this event. And I remember having a conversation with an associate of mine who was working for me at the time and said, you know, that was the dumbest thing you could have ever done, $10 plus man hours and staff to go to this, to set up to be a part of this event. And guess what? That investment in that event has paid off over and over and over and over again through the years. So sometimes you have to invest in things in order to get something out of those things or in order to get something out of it. And a lot of times we don't want to invest in it. We don't want to invest in it. But you have to invest in it because being in the right place makes all the difference in the world. Being in the room with the right people, having the right conversations, and you're prepared makes all of the difference in the world. And sometimes people set the prices so high, you can't afford to get in the room. And what, like, if you see, for instance, you ever see how they have a party, and if you want to go to this party, you have to pay $50,000 for a table. And you'd be thinking, why would anybody in their right mind pay $50,000 for a table and they all serving chicken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about paying the money for the table. It's about being in the room where influential things are happening. And if you're in the room, you can get somebody's ear, and that ear that you get can turn somebody can turn your whole life around. So I certainly applaud you for that. I really do. I applaud you for taking young men under your wing and saying, hey, listen, let me show you how you can do this better, you know. And this is, it's an idea. Now, maybe this idea that I have works for you, or maybe it doesn't work for you, but certainly it is an idea that you can try, and if you work it, it's worked for others, and it'll work for you. And so I think it's very, very important. Sometimes we want to go out and reinvent the wheel. You don't have to reinvent the wheel to create wealth.
Yeah.
Get a wheel and just use the same wheel. You know, put the wheel on the car, drive the car. You don't have to go back and invent the wheel. Just go down to the store, pick the wheel you like, put it on there, pay for it, and roll it. And sometimes we think that we have to reinvent the wheel in order to do this, and it's not necessarily so at all. How do you feel about that, Sharifa?
Well, I think it's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, I'd like to hear from you. Go ahead.
No, I think too often people do try to recreate the wheel as opposed to actually, people tend to find something new. They think that it has to be something new, something exciting, something different, something unique in order to get people to buy or to make a purchase. But what they don't realize is that there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, there's different flavors to it, different colors to it, but the long and the short of it is that there's basically nothing new. So if you have a product or a service, just go out with that product or service full-fledged and just kind of push it and market it as opposed to the consideration of whether or not it's a new product or service. That's my thought.
Well, I'll let you jump in. What were you going to say?
Well, you know, I think it becomes a matter of access and value and relevance. You know, one of the things that we are working continuously with young men, and we also have a very strategic program with young ladies that basically deals with them not getting stuck, not getting pimped out. And so understanding the money game and understanding where you are and the value of your own game comes about looking at that wheel. You know, what's happened before me? You know, what did my mama get caught up in? What did my auntie get caught up in? What did my big sister get caught up in? What did my friend, my neighbor's friend? So it really becomes a matter of what wheel you're looking at and how relevant that wheel is to your situation. Because if you pick the wrong wheel, it could be a wrap. Uh-huh. And I think that's one of the things that happens here is we have created an environment, especially within the African-American community, we just want to get on the wheel. But the question is, what wheel are you on? Because uh-huh. if you ain't on the right wheel, you're not going to win anyway.
That's correct.
So
that is definitely a great way to look at it. Now, we do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American-owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you Nabuki?
That was very powerful to be able to inspire young men and to have, you know, young people and to give them an opportunity to learn about wealth and be a part of a wealth mechanism. That is so awesome. So awesome. So awesome. And I, you know, here's the thing. You know, sometimes you've got to get there. You've got to get in the room where power moves are happening, and sometimes power moves are power movers are just in certain places, and you have to be in those certain places. And I remember Fred K. Price. You know Dr. Fred K. Price of the Crenshaw Christian Center. You heard of him?
Yes.
And I remember he got on TV one time, and he says, listen, I only fly first class. And he says his members really didn't like it because it costs more to fly in first class than it does to fly on, you know, to fly coach or you know, some of the other, what I don't know what all this flying is, but just say flying coach, for instance. And he says, I only fly first class. And he says his members would get upset with him because he would fly first class everywhere he went. And his memory says, why don't you fly coach with everybody else? Because why do you feel you're more special than everybody and you fly first class? And he came back with this statement. He says, what, you don't think people in first class need to know God too? Sometimes you want to have your life as a first class life. You want to have your life as a first class thing. And if you're doing it first class, do it first class. You know, go first class.
I think that's wonderful. I mean, you have to have first class. I just tend to have a problem with the private jets. I mean, really.
I understand the private jet. I really understand the private jet. And right now, because I've been on the road, traveling from place to place, I can understand the necessity of a private jet right now.
For a CEO. I agree. For
a
CEO. Not for the church pastor. But that's a whole different conversation.
I could even understand a private jet.
You're a pastor, so of course you would understand.
I could. No, let me just tell you. Let me just say this, and we're going to move on. I'm not going to make a big thing out of it, but I do want to get this out there, right? You're trying to save time. I want to get there. I don't want to be hassled. I don't want to be patted down at the airport. I want to jump on my plane. I want to get to where I got to go, and I want to get back home. And that's what it is. It's just a mode of transportation. It's like you need the jet so you can go do these other things in ministry, for instance, so you can get back to do whatever else you're going to do in your life. You just need it. It's just a necessity.
And we have other special guests joining us tonight in the Punch Bowl. We have
Who's
Mr. Rich
bowl,
McCain. Mr. McCain, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thank you for
Hello,
joining
I'm,
us in the
I'm
Punch
here.
Bowl.
Well, thank you for thank having you. Me.
So what brings
okay.
you to the
Can
Punch
you hear
Bowl
us?
Tonight?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Well, what brings me to the Punch Bowl, Mr. Collins and I met some time ago at a press junket, and we exchanged a couple of ideas, and we've sparsely in touch over the last couple of years. So he asked me to come on. I am an international, nationally syndicated entertainment columnist. So basically, I interview entertainers.
Well, I know this entertainer who's not exactly entertainer, but he's in the entertainment business. He's a great interview. I'm going to tell you, he's a great interview. He's a really great guy. I know him very intimately. He's a very, 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 very good guy that should be interviewed on your syndicated news column. I mean, I'm just telling you, he's just one of the best guys. He's running a publicly traded company. He's selling stock in his company. He's raising money, using the community to help him achieve a dream. And he deserves to be interviewed. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not going to tell you that his name is Joseph Collins, but I'm just saying that if you wanted to interview that guy for your thing, I'm sure we can make that happen. All right, go ahead.
Mr. McCain?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just enjoying the show. I'm basically enjoying the show and getting a lot of good tips or whatever. But in terms of what I do, I'm involved with the entertainment industry from a press standpoint. Uh-huh. And so I go to the premieres, the press junkets. I go to the sets. Both recording sessions and movie sets, television sets, and I've just about met every actor in the business of name that you can think of, and it's basically an incredible opportunity for me. It's a blessing, and that's all I can say.
Wow.
Hello?
So what about that interview for Punch TV Studio CEO Joseph Collins?
Oh, I've been trying to get a hold of Joseph, and apparently when I reached out to him, then he invited me to the show. But, yes, I see some good things happening with Punch TV because it is really needed. Even as press, people don't understand that when you black – in any of these parts of the industry, you have a rough go of it. If you are a technician, if you are a journalist, if you're an actor, a director, or a writer, you really have a rough go of it. And people think, well, just because you're in the industry, it's glamorous,
right,
or whatever. But that's not the case. As black press, even BET, I don't mean to badmouth anybody, but when Viacom took them over, then they stopped inviting a lot of us black press people to the BET Awards and other functions that they were doing because
That's
the
right.
people that we used to do the inviting, they look like us. And now the people that are doing the inviting, they don't look like us. So BET, on one hand, used to be black, but for a lot of us, it's corporate just like any other network. So Punch TV is an outlet that many of us hopefully will gravitate to give us an opportunity.
I agree with that 100%. And media is so polarized like that until it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And it's amazing that you even bring it to the forefront like that, because you are 100%, you're 100% correct on that. And when we started at Punch, many people know when I started, we used to do a lot of press. I think we were out everywhere. We did press everywhere. And then, but BET shifted when it got bought out, it shifted, and they really closed the doors on if you weren't. And now you don't see the African-American artists getting the coverage that they would typically get when they had all of the media being a part of this whole scene. So I agree with you 100%. And I also agree with you about the challenges for writers, for actors, and for these kinds of people who have these gifts that they want to use in their craft. And that's why Punch TV Studios is designed to give opportunity to actors, to writers, to directors, to producers, to makeup artists, to musical people who do music for scoring, to Foley's and to animation and to all of these different people who have these different gifts, so that we can use these gifts to create something special and help change lives one story at a time. And I 100% agree with you. You can't even knock it. How do you see change occurring are happening in this industry? How do you see change coming about in this industry?
Well, Punch TV and outlets like that is very strategic to us gaining ground in these industries. But I will have to say this. A lot of times they'll say, well, why can't blacks pull themselves up by their own bootstraps? Well, if you look at historically, every time a black company or blacks have made strides in certain areas, they come and they tear it down. Black Wall Street is a perfect example, Tulsa 1921. I mean, mm-hmm. Prior to 1921, you had a section in Tulsa where I was hearing about private jets a few minutes ago. There were people in 1919, at least four or five families in the Tulsa section that had their own private planes. They would shop in Paris. They had their own school system. They had their own bus system. And it got to the point where a lot of the white business people had to come to the black part of town to get loans. And, of course, that didn't settle good. And eventually there was a riot. They claim black elevator operator whistled at a woman or something. I don't know what the deal was. But they burned the entire section, the entire part of Tulsa. They burned it to the ground. And so every time we try to get something, they come against us. Then they turn around and say, well, why can't you guys pull yourself up by your own bootstraps?
And that's why Punch TV Studios is such an important strategic option for us now, because one of the things that's hindered success is having enough capital to sustain yourself while you're building a business or building a company or building a multinational company or whatever you're doing. You have to have the capital to sustain yourself. And one of the things that we're doing is to properly sustain ourselves, working in the community, working from the community, taking community dollars and saying, hey, we're going to do something special in this. And so I 100%, you feel like you just tapped into my mind right now, and you're just like pulling these things out. But you could see this because of media. And what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was a tragedy of economics. It was a tragedy, and it was all out of hatred for no other reason, and jealousy of no other reason of the success that had been attained during that time for the Black Wall Street. And I think that's very powerful, very powerful. I don't know if anybody has ever seen the Black Wall Street film, but if you haven't, you should definitely take some time and at least watch this wonderful documentary on Black Wall Street. And it's just an amazing story. Now, at Punch TV Studios, we are about pulling things together and pooling our resources together and saying, hey, this is what I do. I do media. I know media. I know it up and down. I know it backwards. And this is what I do. I know this. And we pool our resources to say, hey, you know what? Let's get behind this media company. But next company is going to come along. Hey, let's get behind our own bank. Let's have a bank that is owned by the community. That's another thing. So now when you need a loan, you come to the bank to get a loan for your house. You come to the bank to get a loan for whatever it is you're trying to build for. You'll be able to have your own to come to and to utilize, and we're building economic wealth, and we're doing this everywhere. And I think it's absolutely cool. Now, what made you think about Black Wall Street as an example in this? Like, what was it about that was just real striking or just really stood out of your mind in regards to that?
Well, I've looked at history. I've really studied this situation about trying to get ahead, and I've seen too many examples throughout history that on one hand, somebody's trying to call me and I'm on a cell phone. That's what that beep is if you hear. But anyway, I've seen too many examples in history, like Ida Wells. There were a couple of guys that she knew in Memphis back in, I believe it was the 20s, and they started a hardware store or something. They became so successful that one night the KKK came and burned the store down with them in it. And then as a result, she started her crusade, anti-lynching crusade. There's talk about artists in the business like Sam Cooke. He was one of the first to start his own publishing. And, of course, they claim that the lady killed him at the Hacienda Hotel, which is no longer there, the motel. But it's also been rumored that he was murdered because he started his own publishing company, and that was unheard of back in the day. So when you look at all the, in other words, the system of racism is designed so that the race is not fair. And the race is not fair so that the European can stay in front. Because if he had to compete neck and neck with the black man, he'd be in trouble in many cases. So it's one thing to have ambition, and I'm all for that. And I think that people should go for it, especially black folks. But you got to understand, when you're in the race, you got a guy that's not playing nice. You're at the card game, and you got someone sitting at the table that's cheating. So it's going to make it twice as tough for you to make it at what you try to do. I'll give another example. When I'm on the red carpet, and for years I've had this joke with the actors that come down the red carpet, especially the black ones, I said, well, you know where you're going to find me. I'm going to be in the ghetto end. I'm going to be on the ghetto end of the red carpet, because they put all the big names up front, and then they put all the folks that they favor right behind the big names. And the people that they don't favor that much, they stick us on the end. And usually I'm on the end of the red carpet where the actors have talked to most of the people. And then you have these publicists that will snatch their client and say, well, we got to go in. The movie's getting ready to start. So, in other words, what they're saying is you're not important enough for us to stop and talk to. Fortunately, I've been in the game long enough that most of the actors that I do know, they will come down and interview with me. So those are things that we got to be honest about. When we try to get ahead, there's things that are done to keep us behind. And we are people from slavery, so we got all that baggage that we're the only people in this country that did not come here volunteer. And when they took our names, our religion, our spirituality, they took everything from us, we've never fully recovered from that. And that's one of the reasons we have problems assimilating together and making banks, TV stations, and things like that happen, because we're damaged people. And you go to Beverly Hills, there's a psychiatrist on every corner if they just see a mouse run across the floor. So what about us? 400 years of what we went through, we never got debriefed from that. So there's a lot of things that to consider when you're trying to get ahead.
I 100% agree with that. There are a lot of things you have to consider when you're trying to get ahead, and you got to know. My mother always said, she said, son, you have to be 10 times better than the guy next to you. She always said that. That's one of her, always she said, you have to be 10 times better than the guy next to you. You got to be 10 times better than the guy next to you. She said, you got to take four steps because they're going to push you three steps back.
It shouldn't have to be that way. If the world were the type, or especially the U.S. were the type of place where, okay, everybody comes here for opportunity, then let everybody compete on the same level, and you don't have to worry about it. But no, if you're black, we can't have you out doing CBS, because if you do, something's, you know, we're going to come against you. Now, I would encourage your listeners to see the movie Hidden Figures, and it's about the three black women who were scientists for NASA. They were in the mathematics department, and Catherine, one of the ladies, she is the sister that actually computed by paper, and she was more accurate than the computer. She was the one that computed the trajectory for for Alan Shepard first to go up and come down, and then for John Glenn to orbit the Earth. I think he went around seven times. And it was a black woman that did it. In fact, John Glenn, when the computer had a couple of glitches in it, he insisted that they use the calculations from this black woman to send him up and bring him back down. And she did do it. So I would encourage people to watch the movie Hidden Figures. And it's another example. They didn't teach us this in school. Why didn't they teach it? Because they didn't want black kids to know you can be NASA engineers. They didn't, but it's okay for us to bounce a basketball and run a football, but
right.
Be a computer scientist? Oh, no, you can't
right.
do that.
No, absolutely. 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 This is a very powerful show. And I just got to tell you, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight, Mr. McClain. It's very good to have you on and everything like that. It's very, very good to have you on. And certainly we have a long way to go, but we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go as well. I want to encourage everyone. Go ahead.
I would just like to plug, I'm working with a comedian, LaRoya Sanford. She's 14 years old, but she's already a 5 or 6 year veteran on the Hollywood circuit. She's going to have a DVD come out soon. So be on the lookout for comedian LaRoya Sanford. She's very good.
LaRoya Sanford. I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. And I want to thank everyone, all of our guests for tonight, for being on the show. Be sure to visit our website. We are breaking barriers at Punch TV Studios. You can be a part of this movement. You can be a part of the direction and being part of a media company that's doing some awesome things in media and in finance, in the world of capital markets. You can be a part of it. you can invest in our company only $1 per share. Only $1 per share, you can become a part owner in Punch TV Studios. And we'd like to thank our great producer and our co-host, the Sharifa, for being putting together another great week of shows. And we're going to see you on Monday in the Punch Bowl on the same Punch TV channel at the same Punch TV time.
Thanks for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios. Join us 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. Visit our website at www.punchtvstudios.com today to become a part owner at $1 per share.